Hello, this is Oreski Daoud of Mea Risk LLC, and today is the 21st of October 2019. Welcome to this new edition of Nigeria Stability Review, and the period in review is the week ending 20th of October 2019, that's Sunday. For the period of 14 to 20 October 2019, there were 37 critical incidents in Nigeria, resulting in 22 deaths. It was actually the quietest period in months, considering the lack of insurgent activity in the northeast and a substantial reduction in bandit activity in the northwest. The social and human category in general accounted for nearly 30% of the week's total incident pool, and that was followed by criminality, which accounted for 27%. The Mea Risk Instability Index fell to 1.61, putting Nigeria as a whole in Code Orange Moderate Risk Zone. That figure is perhaps related to the general threat level from insurgency and banditry in northern Nigeria dropping considerably this week, ending 20 October. However, this is just a temporary lull, and it is not a permanent situation, as we're already seeing new activity on the insurgency and counterinsurgency front as we begin the new week. Part of the lull, perhaps, could be attributed to, partly again, to the weather conditions affecting the region. Villagers in the north, in particular the northwest, insist that a fall in bandit activity is tied to the rain and floods that are preventing bandits from striking. As for the insurgency, efforts by Borno State and the federal government to organize a major offensive may have given pause to the insurgents so as to prepare for the planned onslaught. Already at the beginning of this week, we've learned of an ambush on a convoy of armed pickup trucks by Nigerian military. That went wrong when the attacking soldiers were actually outnumbered and overwhelmed by ISWAP fighters near Jacana village, close to the capital, Maiduguri. The insurgents managed to kill four soldiers and local militia, and that really shows that we're likely to see an escalation of violence going forward. Well, despite the lull in banditry, Kaduna in particular, that's the state of Kaduna in the north, northwest, has experienced a new gang and kidnapping activity. The attacks on the Kaduna region are likely due to bandits putting pressure on Kaduna governor to engage in negotiations. Kaduna governor has been extremely reluctant to do what a couple of neighboring states have done, and that is to engage with talks with gangs roaming, destabilizing the region, essentially. So on 16 October, armed bandits attacked Giyam village in Berninguari. They've wounded three vigilantes. They've kidnapped an unspecified number of people. The abducted victims were extracted from their vehicles while traveling on a dangerous stretch of the Benin-Guari-Kaduna highway. Bandits have been terrorizing the region with their crime, essentially peaking when they kidnapped a student and the principal of Engravers College 3 weeks ago. In a separate incident, unidentified gunmen also kidnapped three people in the same area of Berninguari. The victims included the head teacher of a primary school and two others who were abducted while apparently buying fuel at a petrol station. The gunmen used their weapons. They shot and wounded two pedestrians. Now, there's been also a third incident in the same region. Excuse me. Soldiers of the Nigerian army launched a sweeping operation at a village called Maro, and that's located along the Kaduna-Abuja highway, during which they discovered a bandit hideout. The soldiers encountered a group of bandits and killed one of them anyway, while the others managed to escape. The army also managed to free three farmers who were previously kidnapped by the gang and were held in hideout. Weapons and ammunition were seized. On the counterinsurgency front, in a public speech this week, President Buhari called on the international community to help Nigeria face Boko Haram and ISWAP in the northeast of the country. Now, while Buhari insisted that the Boko Haram insurgents have been, and I'm quoting here, substantially defeated and degraded to the extent that they are only daring soft targets, end quote, he added that, and I'm quoting again, the government will remain steadfast in developing our alliances with neighbors and friends in the national community for the total defeat of the insurgents, end of quote. Now, the counterinsurgency campaign is likely to witness an escalation with the possible involvement of foreign parties. Boko Haram and ISWAP will not likely run away because of the threat of more foreign support to the military. In fact, Boko Haram leader Abubakar Shekau, the head of one of the Boko Haram factions, there are at least two anyway, posted a recorded audio file on social media to respond to Borno governor's call for truce. Governor of Borno, Babagana Zulum, invited insurgents and their leaders to surrender and embrace peace, but clearly Shekau rejected the offer. And so we should anticipate a substantial escalation of the conflict going forward after Borno State announced the use of the hiring, perhaps, or the organizing of what could be thousands of hunters as militia. And the goal here is really to use sort of Borno assets to go after Boko Haram and ISWAP. And so between the federal government pledging more international support or calling for more international support, its recent acquisition of fighter jets from Pakistan, Boko Haram's rejection of any truce, and Borno State strengthening its offensive capabilities with its own militias, really we should expect some more violence going forward in the region, and Northeast is very much bracing for a very difficult time ahead. Now, the week was dominated by a number of things happening on the climate front in Nigeria. So on the climate front, the rainy season continues to really wreak havoc on many regions in the country. Anambra State was probably one of the worst hit. Four communities have been submerged by flood water, becoming the latest villages to struggle with floods and destruction, joining so many others in the same predicament. Local authorities now say that all the houses in the regions in those locations, specifically those villages, are completely submerged. In Kogi State, we're talking about more than 150 villages that were also hit by severe flooding over the past days, prompting several personalities and ministers, even in Abuja, to urge the National Emergency Management Agency to speed up relief assistance. In Lagos, to the south, two buildings collapsed this week apparently as a result of heavy rains. Four people were killed in one of the incidents in Isheri Magodo, and that prompted state authorities to order the evacuation of residents. In the second building, not too far, there were no casualties, but still there is concern about the state of building and of constructions and buildings in Nigeria. Now, more flooding is expected, in particular in Obafemi Owerri area of Ogun State, which is currently experiencing a severe downpour in the region, being now on high flood alert, is likely to witness some severe outcome from what's going on the past couple of days. A number of states also experienced the highest number of incidents this week, interestingly. Several buildings were destroyed and an unspecified number of people were killed on 16 October when a petrol tanker exploded in Onitsha. A second tanker also transporting fuel exploded in the same city 2 days later. There is no official information on casualties for the second incident or both incidents yet. The city also saw a violent heist at a fuel station, which resulted in five deaths. Going back to the north, it's worth noting that 300 young men were freed from captivity from a boarding school in Daura, and that's in Katsina State. This is the second school this month where boys are been chained and sexually abused were reported. The police have been checking local schools and covered many of them that have been mistreating their students, and a lot more of that will be covered going forward. On the economic front, there have been reports that Nigeria's federal government and labor union representatives have finally resolved their disagreement on the implementation of a new minimum wage law. If confirmed, this would inevitably abort a nationwide strike and will probably pave the way for the rolling out of a new minimum wage in the federal sector. So this is in brief what we saw during the week. It's been a very busy week, but relative to what we've seen in the past, this was a pretty quiet week in general, specific to Nigeria. So what is it that we need to look at going forward for in terms of the outlook review? On a political and security front, I think it's clear to us that all the protagonists in the insurgency conflict in the Northeast are bracing for an extremely violent confrontation in the coming weeks. But both the federal government and Borno State say they are determined to eliminate Boko Haram and ISWAP. The leader of a faction of Boko Haram, as I said earlier, Boubacar Shekau, refused a truce offer made by the governor of Borno this week. Both parties are preparing for a long battle, which outcome, looking at it from our perspective, remains very difficult to predict. Buhari has been vocal about how Boko Haram has been defeated, but there's really no clear evidence of that. And clearly, Boko Haram and ISWAP have been extremely aggressive, extremely violent, and in the Northwest, bandit activity has also eased this week, but efforts to sustain a truce in a couple of states are being challenged by reports of new attacks, particularly on Kaduna, albeit not as deadly as in the past. These attacks are pretty significant. Bandits are, as I said, are now increasingly looking at Northwest and Central states that have been unwilling to negotiate a truce with them. A notorious gang name known as Yang Bakwa Bakwa is reportedly responsible for attacking Kaduna regions, and particularly Berdin Gwari, and is said to be putting pressure on Kaduna governor to engage in negotiations. On a human, social, environmental front, the intensity of the rain and subsequent floods and several regions in Nigeria has been a source of destruction and instability. Emergency management services appear overwhelmed by the magnitude of these disasters, which could be largely attributed to poor infrastructure, so much so that even the Nigerian Senate has called on the government to take urgent measures to fix things like roads that have been crumbling. Now, other issues confronting Nigeria include diseases, with Lagos just recently confirming 3 cases of monkeypox. But you can think of other things: intercommunal conflicts, population displacement, food shortages. All of that likely to affect large swaths of the Nigerian population in the coming months. On the economic front, Nigeria appears to have averted a major labor strike following the brief announcement of an agreement reached by representatives of the federal government and labor unions. The details are not available as the announcement came at the end of the business week, but pressure has been increasing against the federal government, with several state unions actually announcing strikes, likely forcing the government to speed up its decision to comply. The rolling out of the minimum wage will be costly, however, for the Nigerian federal government, which is looking for new ways to generate more income, including tax increases and pressure on foreign oil companies to pay billions of dollars of alleged unpaid revenues due to Nigeria. Now, a feud with oil companies is expected, with both parties likely to head to court for a lengthy litigation process. And with that, thank you for listening. Until next week, goodbye.